Hey, this is Jeremy Cummings. I'm the host here at Cummings' Culture, and I want to share something really special with you today. I want to share with you Ashley Maven and her incredible program, Joy Rising. Now, I know what you're thinking. Another program, another coach. But let me stop you right there. Ashley just isn't another coach. She's an emotional freedom and success coach who's changing lives. Ashley's Joy Rising program isn't about giving you empty promises and quick fixes. It's about giving you every opportunity to have real transformation in your life. And trust me, I've seen it firsthand. This isn't some cookie cutter program where you're just another number to get somebody paid. No, this is about you and your journey and your success and your joy, because Ashley Maven is dedicated to helping real people like you achieve real results. And let me tell you, I'm just not the host of Cummings' Culture. No, I'm a joy riser. Thanks to Ashley's guidance and support, I've experienced all of these things. So if you're ready to experience true emotional freedom and unlock the joy within you, and you want to check this out, then go to www.ashleymaven.com today. Don't let another day go by feeling stuck or unfulfilled. Join the Joy Rising movement and discover the life you were meant to live. Are you a parent worried about the influences of public school on your child? Are you concerned they might encounter beliefs that contradict your own? Do overcrowded classrooms leave you anxious about your child's individual attention? Then we may have a solution for you. Faith Prep Academy is redefining education with an innovative model built on the belief that every student is a unique creation of God. They understand that each child possesses distinct talents, gifts, and passions, and they're dedicated to nurturing those qualities while providing a solid academic foundation. At Faith Prep, they offer faith-based education rooted in Christian values. Individualized attention. Say goodbye to overcrowded classrooms. And a nurturing environment. Are you ready to learn more? Then click the link in the description of this podcast episode to discover how Faith Prep Academy can provide the quality education and values-aligned environment your child deserves. Don't let the worries about public school hold you back. Join Faith Prep Academy and empower your child today. Need something to listen to that's family friendly? Well, I've got the show for you. It's the Old Man's Podcast, live every morning, rain, shine, and this old man is not the one that's snoring, because he's up bright and early to entertain you. 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, the Old Man's Podcast, streaming live exclusively over on Podbean.
Live show that says you'll hear about Jesus, you'll hear about politics, you'll hear about sports, and you'll even hear about farts. Now, this is my kind of show. You're now tuned in to the bearded fat man who's bringing sexy back. Live from Alabama, you're listening to Cummings is Culture.
Now, here he is in all of his glory, the best-looking fat man alive, Jeremy Cummings.
What's going on, everybody? It's another episode of Cummings' Culture, and he's going to start wanting to start talking about this intro, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring him up. Michael Corder. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Anyway, go ahead and get your jokes in about the best-looking fat man alive. Go ahead.
I'm not saying – I don't. That's one I don't know whether to debate it or not. Like, I don't know. It could go either way. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
It may be that, like, the best looking fat man alive, you may have to, there may be some criteria. You may have to be above 275 to be considered for that. I qualify, by the way. Anyway, we're here with Michael, and those of you that know him from TikTok. Of course, he's got what, 500,000? 600,000, 700,000, something like that over on TikTok.
It's a little over 500,000, I think.
Yeah, that's a bunch of people, man. That's a bunch of people. Follow him over on TikTok. You know, the government trying to do away with that, but we're not going to talk about that. Over on TikTok, tons of people follow you. You have testimonies of healing that you've seen through the internet, which is crazy in 2024. I mean, what if you let's go this route to start. If you could go back to the 1960s and tell them that one day you're going to be able to go press a button on a phone, or, you know, in my case, a computer, and you're going to be able to access 8 billion people at any time, what do you think their reaction would be?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Probably like, have you ever seen Star Trek? You know,
it's crazy that, you know, that we can just, we're sitting here with the opportunity to access anybody and everybody at, you know, at any point in their life. And it all it takes is a share. So for all of you that are out there watching, be a share bear. Okay. Because when you share, this is a legitimate thing. I don't know if people realize this. One share on the internet can potentially put you in front of 500 more people, depending on that person's following. But sometimes when certain people share that have over 1,000, that could put you in front of 20,000 people. That could put you. And so just be a share bear. You know, you don't ever know who's going to need what we're talking about here today. And of course, that is the deep dive into healing. And of course, Jeremy, okay, everybody knows I believe in healing, right? Everybody knows it. But I'm going to be a little skeptical today because Michael has seen things that I, of course, have not seen in person. And there are things out there. Now, there's a video of you on your YouTube account that I saw, and this was years ago. It was you, and it was a black man, a black gentleman, and he was blind in an eye, I think.
Oh, wow. You're the other person that watched that on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. Upload it on Rumble and see what it'll get. Shout out Rumble. Y'all love me over there. Was that the first time you'd seen that in person?
Yeah, we saw his eye, and I wish I had. Back then, I was real shy about pulling out the camera. You know, I'm lucky I pulled it out then. But we saw his eye change. His eye was naturally brown, and we saw it change from that weird, you know, that when somebody's blind, I shouldn't say weird, but you know what I'm saying. It's that
it's weird.
Milky, it's, you know, yeah. Kind of grayish, lumpy. We saw it change from that, go back to like perfect brown, and I was like, what in the heck, man? That is crazy. I mean, I had already seen some things, but you know, to see it change like that, he just like blinked. I didn't see it instantly happen, but he like closed his eyes, and when he opened it, it was back perfect.
That's crazy. That's just, mm-hmm. You know, we don't see that anymore in like the modern church as much as what they saw in the Bible.
It was in a shoe store too.
Come in, get you some new Nikes, get you some new Jordans, and leave with not no longer being blind. That shoe store should They should have ran with that. I would.
Now I got to give props to my buddy Eddie that was with me. We prayed the first time, and the guy was like, "I'm not seeing anything." I'm like, "Okay, Eddie, I'm thinking in my head, let's let this dude go." And he's like, "No, let's pray again." You know, and that's when it happened. So I got to tell off on myself a little bit there. I was ready to go the other way.
How long have you been out in public praying for people?
The first time it happened, if I'm getting this right, was February of 2016. That's when I really saw. I had done a little bit before that, but that's when I really saw like crazy stuff, you know.
Yeah. And
people like, "What's going on? You know, what are you doing to me? You know, I'm feeling all these crazy stuff." But like that sort of stuff. I believe it was February of 16.
16 was a good year.
Or it might have been 17. I don't know. I've kind of lost track. I think it was 17.
Still, good year.
One of those years.
Those good years. When you first saw something like that, how old were you the first time you saw something like that? Like, not
how old was I?
Yeah. Not like praying for somebody and seeing it, but like, did you see it when you were a child? Did you see it when?
There was occasionally I went to a church that was charismatic, but we didn't, you know, just honestly speaking, we didn't see a lot of stuff happen, but occasionally we did. And I remember, one particular, this kid had tuberculosis and, they prayed for him. And like, I remember him being in church, like he had been attending church for a while, you know, and you can hear him coughing and all that stuff. And they prayed for him and he went back to the doctor. He didn't have it anymore. And he went on, he played football in high school. And, you know, so that was one I saw, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was, teenager or maybe, you know.
I grew up in one of them charismatic churches too. I remember the first time I ever seen anything crazy. I never forgot it. There was this woman and they were praying for her. And like, you know. And in them charismatic churches, like people run the aisles, they'll jump the pews, they'll run the pews, they'll run. You better not have that baptistry filled up because they'll run and they'll jump in it. Like I've seen that before, but like I never will forget this woman. And I was a teenager, like I'd seen stuff before that, but this is one I never forgot. There was this woman and we had these metal poles because I went to a pretty large church and, we went to they had these metal poles and I was sitting on the back row where my grandpa, that's where he always sat. And it was just, you know, when you go to church, everybody's got a particular place they're going to sit.
Yeah.
And that's just where we always sat. And, I was young, man. I was like 12 and this woman they're praying for. Her, and like the woman keeps walking with her hand on her head praying for. Her. And so all of a sudden they come up to this metal pole and I'm like, she goes, bam, she hits that metal pole. I'm like, oh my gosh, she done killed her. Like she dead. Like she got brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, bam, like she's so excited. She hits that metal pole again. I'm like, God, they're going to kill her. And then bam, she hits it. I don't know how many times she hit that metal pole. After it was over, she never knew she hit it.
Wow.
Never had a mark on her head. Never had any, like, and I was sitting there and I was like, you know, that is a metal pole. Like that, like the way she was smacking, the way her head was being smacked against that metal pole. And then, you know, getting older. And then in 2020, when I really, you know, got into, stuff and I, started, you know, I started with Rhema and then I found out about, Kenneth Hagin and like, and then through Kenneth Hagin, I found out about a guy called Smith Wigglesworth and some of the stuff he had seen and like smacking the head on the pole and stuff like that. Like I remember that. And then, like people were like, you know, Smith was crazy. And I'm like, no, I don't know if he was crazy or not. Cause I've seen some crazy stuff. Like there was a baby that was dead one time and they brought it to Smith Wigglesworth and the baby was dead. Smith Wigglesworth got so mad and he said he did this because he could see the demon that was behind the attack. Like he said that he could physically see the demon and then, you know, if he could or not, I don't know, but you know, but he said he could. Now I'm not saying he's a liar because this guy's seen too much. Like there's too many accounts about what he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sees this dead baby and they bring this dead baby. And the first thing anybody I don't know. Maybe you've not. I don't know. You've seen too much. But anyway, this somebody bring me a dead child. Like, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, it's a dead baby. Call 911. Smith Wigglesworth, they bring him this dead child. They hand the child to him. And he's like, in the name of Jesus. And he just goes, boom. And he Pat McAfee'd that baby. Like, he punted the baby like a football. Yeah. These are eyewitness accounts in the early 1900s, people. This is not something that, like, there's more eyewitness accounts to this than there was George Washington, okay? And so these eyewitness accounts, like, everybody that was there, and I think it happened in San Francisco, by the way. The baby hits the floor. Everybody's like, "What? He just kicked a dead baby. Any chance a doctor had, this is over." Like, you know. So the baby starts crying, and the mama goes, picks the baby up because she was in, you know, shock before, because, like, oh my God, this guy just punted my dead baby. He goes, picks the baby up. The baby's completely fine. It's completely healed. Nothing's wrong with it. Like, it's alive.
Yeah. If you want to read some crazy stuff, like, look into those early Pentecostal people, you know, and like the Amy McPherson, they would, in Los Angeles, 1/10 of the population of Los Angeles was going to her church at one time back in the 30s, I think.
Yeah.
And she put out more aid, like, during the Depression than that local government did. So, I mean, and they would line up at her. They had people breaking in her house for her to pray for them because of all the miracles, you know.
And Catherine Coleman was another one I've heard weird stories about. Just like they said, when she died, like, the whole hospital smelled like roses.
Yeah.
And then a nurse got in trouble because they thought that, you know, they had loud flowers. And there was, like, they walked into the room and they was like, all you could smell was roses after she died.
Now, if you go back further in time, like, what's another one? Maria Woodworth Eder. I think I said her first name right. Crazy stuff. Like, she goes to town. People are falling out 2 miles from her services, you know.
Yeah.
But if you go back in time further, and a lot of people that are Protestants don't want to do that. But if you go back in time to where these people were monks and nuns, it gets absolutely insane. One of my favorite ones was a nun, and she always gave to the poor, and she had a little purse. This was, like, I don't know, the 1500s or something like that. And it always had 6 gold coins in it. No matter how much she gave away, always 6 gold coins in it. Like, yeah. Crazy stuff.
And she's poor, so she doesn't, like.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It's just there every time, you know. Yeah. And those back in those days, they did not take that stuff lightly. They came and investigated you. And if you were telling stories about one of these miracles, you know, you might end up on a steak with a barbecue going on around you, and you're the main course. So,
yeah, they probably took one of her gold coins and probably took the purse that it was in and probably held it overnight in, like, a secure location, and then come back the next morning and there were 6 in there. Like, they probably did some, like, they
didn't mess with that back in those days.
Nah, they'd kill you for that. They weren't playing with it. Mm-mm. So let me ask you, like, you've seen a lot of healings and stuff, mm-hmm. and there's this giant perception out there in the Christian world, and I've seen it to where people are suffering with cancer, and they're really bad off. They're in the bed, they're on hospice, and they die, mm-hmm. and the family members, sometimes even the pastor, gets up at the funeral service or whatever and says, well, now they have received their ultimate healing. Is healing death, and is God glorified in death?
Well, I think you just answered your own question there. If we know anything about the English language, you know, healing is not death. People say this all the time, and people get very angry at this. But they say, like, I got my new body in heaven, or grandma got. And hey, I've had loved ones pass. I'm not making light or fun of anything, but I'm just saying, with the way people say it, it sounds crazy. Like, you know, they died and now they're healed. Like, well, no, they're not. They died, you know? So when you go to heaven, you don't get a fleshly body. You're a spirit. You know, your spirit was never sick in the first place. It didn't. You can't break your spirit's arm or give it chicken pox or anything else like that. Your spirit is just not attached to your body anymore. Somebody had cancer, they could go, you know, and somebody had passed away. Those cancer cells are still there. They, you know, there was no healing that happened.
Yeah. So when you say that you're a spirit, there's going to be a lot of people that have a question about that, because we have been taught, and I know I was, that the soul was saved. The soul was saved. And yeah, we didn't know too much about the spirit. Now, Jesus says in John chapter 4 that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, in Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image. Now, I believe, I don't know how you believe, but I believe that God the Father is talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit when he's saying that. And we know that they're three different, but they're one, because, you know, that's the way the Trinity works. But when you say that you're spirit, can you explain to people what the spirit, like how the soul is different from the spirit, and how the body, and how that works in a little bit of a way?
Yeah, there's different views on that. I try to explain it like this. Like, you have a body, obviously that's what we're looking at, you know, our bodies right now. Then you have a spirit, which is connected into a different realm, if you will, a different reality, the spiritual reality that this body can't see. Okay. And that's, you have a mind in that. It's like the real you is the spirit. What I call the place where they come together is the soul, or maybe the mind. It's like a joint, you know, that joint. And this is, I'm just using this to explain, so people don't get upset if you hear me. I'm just trying to explain this a little bit. That joint kind of doesn't exist when these bones part. So that part where it comes together, your soul and your mind, it's not when the body leaves. That's why heaven's so wonderful. You're not tempted by the flesh anymore and all that stuff. You're just pure spirit. Okay. And so you're the part of your mind that is warring against each other, that part is gone. I hope that makes sense. A lot of people will describe the soul as your mind, will, and emotions. I don't think it's all that cut and dried, but that's just my best way of explaining it. The soul is kind of your mind, your consciousness.
Yeah, and somebody that you introduced me to, he talks about that sometimes, Dan Moeller.
Yeah.
He talks about your emotions and why you can't trust them. He was like, because they're not yours. Like, those were Adam's. Like, like, that's why the Bible says you have to renew the mind.
Yeah. Like, I could tell you something right now that's not true, and you could either get really happy or really angry. And, you know, that's just your, like, the emotions didn't matter. It's not even true, you know, but you got angry or happy about something that doesn't even exist. So you can't really trust them all the time.
Yeah. And so these people that like we were discussing, like, get upset about when they say that healing is death, that to me, and maybe to you, I don't know, but I always feel like it's just a coping mechanism that
it is.
In a way, yeah,
it is. Most of Christianity is, I shouldn't say most of Christianity, most of what passes for Christianity here in America is just to make you feel good. People are automatically going to say, yep, oh boy, I agree, Joel Osteen, you know, but I'm talking about all of it, you know? So you know, the Bible says these signs will follow those that believe, you know, they'll be healed. And of course, healing, the faith comes in. But if you don't believe any of that is for today, and you're a pastor, you're kind of off the hook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I say healing's not today, and I'm your pastor, and I'm making, you know, 80K a year, you don't expect nothing out of me. It's pretty ingenious.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because there are some pastors that say that healing is not for today, and they teach that in their congregations weekly sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like it was a cop out.
Oh yeah.
But they use this verse, and let me go into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. In verse 7, it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Verse 8, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But," verse 9, "but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Verse 10, "For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Most Christians say that Paul is dealing with a physical illness here, and that God won't heal it because Paul is glorified. Because God is glorified in Paul's affliction. What's your answer for that?
Well, a lot of that stemmed from the King James Version, where it said, I think it says, I don't have it open in front of me, but that word weakness is in one of those verses. It's either six or, I guess is it mentioned twice in six? Anyway, it's the same word in Greek, but they translate one infirmities and one weaknesses. It's the same word. None of the modern translations that I'm aware of still do that. And I think that's just an issue with the old English language, you know. But it's talking about weaknesses. And you might say, well, what are you talking about there? What's a weakness? And I think the answer to that is in verse 10. "I take pleasure in weaknesses." Okay, so what are they? "In reproaches, in hardships, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then I'm strong." So what he's talking about basically is persecutions. There's no mention there of any kind of sickness. It talked about a messenger of Satan. And if you look that word up, messenger, it's the same word that they translate as angel in other places in Greek. Angelos, or however you pronounce it, I don't know. But hey, I'm for going in as deep as possible. So we have all that. And then I wrote a couple verses down because that's always brought up, you know.
Yeah.
But if you look in Numbers 33:55, Joshua 23:13, and Judges 2:3, and hopefully I'm terrible with verses sometimes. In the Old Testament, thorns always refer to people. So it's a person that is always talking about, not a sickness or anything. So if we let the Bible interpret the Bible, thorns are people, personalities. I would say the thorn here was this demon or whatever, this fallen angel, if you will, that is specifically from Satan that's afflicting Paul. And Paul was trying to say, "Hey, Lord, get rid of this thing." But he was saying, you're being persecuted for my sake, you know, which the Lord said we would be persecuted for his sake, for his name.
And that's difficult for modern Christians, especially in America, to understand the word persecution. Mm-hmm. We take it as you get some group that says, "Oh, you can't pray here," or "We don't want you to pray here." We take that as, that's the ultimate persecution here in America.
Yeah.
When in Paul's time, Paul was the Osama bin Laden of the Bible. For those that, I mean, he was like, Paul was like when he was Saul, he was a terrorist.
And, so just to be, before he got converted to Christianity.
Yeah. When he was Saul.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he was Saul of Tarsus, Paul was a terrorist. He was like, he was like, "Let's kill him." Like, he would set him up for failure. Like, he would try to set, like, he was hunting them down and all of this stuff. So, like, when you see the conversion of Paul, from Saul to Paul, you have to immediately assume, or not assume, you just have to know. To me, well, I know, but like you have to see something that happened there. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You have to see that something changed this guy to where he was a terrorist and hated these people and wanted to kill them. And then all of a sudden, something changed. So his mind got renewed somewhere along the way. And that goes back to what we were.
Yeah, the road to Damascus. The Lord slapped the mess out of him. But anyway. Yeah.
And in that, too, when we were talking about persecution, there's something in that verse that I love that I think gets totally overlooked. When Jesus appears to Saul on the road to Damascus, he says, he does not say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute my brethren or my followers or anything?" Like, the people don't understand the, there's a prayer when Jesus is praying in John, and when he's praying, he says, "Father, me, I and you, and you and me, and them and us," or it goes on, and like it includes everybody, like, you know, like, wait a minute here. But like, on the road to Damascus, Jesus looks at Paul and says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And to me, that is so, like, that when I read that, when I really read that and read into that, that just blew me away, because he's like, we are the body. Paul, why are you persecuting me? So like when you're talking about death and you're talking about destruction and calamities and all of these things that Satan does, he's not doing them to you. In his eyes, he's doing them to Jesus.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
And hey, let me run back to the thorn thing. Cause man, you can pray for somebody that's never heard of Jesus or the Bible, and they'll talk about the thorn in their flesh, you know? And so let's just say I'm wrong. Let's just say thorns are not what the Bible says they are. You know, weaknesses are sicknesses and all that sort of thing. Let's just say all of that's right. Let's just say those people are right. I like to give ground to people and see if they're still right. Okay.
Yeah.
But let's say all of that's correct. Why was he given the thorn? Because of his great revelations. You know, he went to heaven and saw things. He said it was, and heard things it was not for man to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, if people have that thorn in the flesh, then obviously if we're following the Bible, you know, they've been to heaven and have, like, well, tell me about it, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he was called, Kenneth Hagin had a message on that called Paul's Revelation, and he talks about Paul being called up into heaven, and it's just like, Paul was so, like, and there's another preacher, it's a lot of controversy around him whenever you bring him up, but, like, Paul, he's very secretive in a way about his visit to heaven in the Bible. He's not really, like, he doesn't give a whole lot of detail. He doesn't say that I saw this, 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 and this. There's another preacher in the modern day that does the same thing. He's wrote a book about it, but he won't reveal everything that he saw. He even tells people, I can't. Jesse Duplantis actually has that, and he says that some things are just too holy to talk about.
Hmm.
And that's that, like, when I read that, and then the first time I heard him talk about it, he talks about it, but he's very secretive about some stuff that he says he saw while he was there. And so, yeah, like, when we're talking about healing and the deep dive into healing and the thorn in the flesh and all of that, you look at, like, the words, like you were talking about the word thorn and weakness and how they translated this and translated that. There's another verse in scripture that's translated, but they continue to use the same word even in the new versions. They continue to use the old word in the new versions, and that's John 3:16.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish but have eternal life. We all know that the word eternal means everlasting, incorruptible, not dying, no decay. It means immortal. So whosoever believes on him should not perish but have immortal life, being mortal forever. But you go to that word perish. That is a early
That's a whole nother podcast is what that is.
Yeah, that is a early English word. And that word perish, because we've talked about death already, but
yeah,
that word perish essentially means death.
Mm-hmm.
For those who believe on him should not die is what it says. Yeah. If you read it in modern English, it says, so it would go this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes on him should not die, but have immortal life.
Yeah.
That's what it would say.
Yeah.
And I think there's fear about actually putting that in there. And I think that's why they haven't done it. But yep. The thorn in the flesh and the should not perish. And I feel like there's a lot of cop outs.
Oh, yeah.
when it comes to healing and ministers talking about it and why we don't see it. And I've seen a lot of people who claim to have been healed, and I see people who say that they're full of crap, like they didn't get healed.
Yeah.
What do you say to the people that, you know, you've seen these people? I've got a video. I don't know if we're going to play it or not, but there's a video of a woman with a frozen shoulder, not mm-hmm. being able to lift her shoulder. And then all of a sudden she's able to lift her shoulder. What do you say to the people that's the skeptics? And I don't know if this woman was an atheist or not, but she certainly wasn't a believer. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those people that see stuff like this? Like, where, you know, that are you ever going to make certain people believe?
No. I mean, I was doing it that way at that time. I was like, here, hold this. Because, you know, people say what's the word that they use? I can't remember. The power of suggestion, you know, you're yeah. suggesting it. They believe it hard enough and they can move, the shoulder. Now she had been, if you look at the video, she had been in therapy for like 6 months and nobody could do anything about it. You know, she still couldn't raise it up. And, so anyway, I didn't tell her anything really. I just said, here, hold this, see what happens. Her friend had held it and gotten better. And she was kind of laughing and joking, like in a nice way. I think she was probably just I don't think she was an atheist, but you know, I don't think she believed anything like that. And she was kind of laughing, like, oh, it's all in my mind. I mean, like she was saying this stuff, it's all in my mind. And then she could do it and she couldn't believe it, you know? So she didn't believe it because she said repeatedly, I can't believe it. And even after the camera was off and I saw her, you know, I was still shopping in the store like 30 minutes later. She was still like, I can't believe this. Like what she was thinking. People come up with the craziest things and I don't want to embarrass her. I'll just be quiet, but people, you know, they think all kinds of things, but she couldn't believe it. So long story short, it had nothing to do with like hypnosis or power of suggestion or anything like that. People, I remember in the comments of that video were saying, oh yeah, that's power of suggestion. Science wins again. I'm like, well, if science wins again, why aren't they doing this in therapy? Why aren't they saying, hey, pick up this jar, you know, and you'll be able to lift your arm. And then everybody's just, yay, you know, and therapy's over. So it's silly. I don't know if you've heard of Heidi Baker, but she would be a believer like I believe. And, they did a whole medical study from, I believe it's Indiana State University. I'm not sure. The person that did the study that headed it all up was Harvard trained, Harvard trained PhD. And they said, hey, these people are getting healed. Long story short, these people are getting healed. They can see better. They can hear better. It's really happening. And that was published in, a peer-reviewed journal that everybody's talking about these days. And, you know, I show people that and like, oh, that's not, that don't mean anything. That don't. So, I mean, the science is there. If you want to look at, you know, that they measured it, they did everything. The science is out there, but people, they just don't want to believe it.
I think CBS was the one, or it was NBC. It was one of the big, three. It was either CBS, ABC, or NBC. I can't remember which one it was. But one time they had, of course, you know, the big networks are skeptical of, you know, anything Christianity. So they had the speaking in tongues, and that's very controversial, even in the Christian realm, because mm-hmm. you have the, Well, let's just outright and say it. I don't care. It's Cummings, it's culture, it ain't controversial. It's just culture. You have the Baptist that like I have seen, this is not no bull crap whatsoever. I've personally known of a Baptist minister that went to a Pentecostal church, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then all of a sudden started speaking in tongues, and then they fired him the next day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so so CBS or NBC or ABC, I can't remember, it was one of the big three networks. They did a study about speaking in tongues, and they took these Christians. It's on YouTube. You can look this up. They took these Christians and they got them to pray in tongues while they were viewing, like they did like something so they could see their brain. I don't know what you call it. It's a medical.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, well, you know, their speech centers will be active. You know, and nothing was active, like nothing, like their brain showed no activity. And so they couldn't understand it about why, you know, and so, you know, back to what we were talking about, there's things that we just don't understand because the you were talking about studies. I wonder how many people that are out there that have had studies done on them that have said that they were healed, the doctors did the studies, and then they just didn't publish it because it doesn't line up with science.
Probably tons. I mean, I had somebody years ago say, well, prove this and prove that. It's like, oh, but you can't, don't bring up medical stuff now, because we do know that people spontaneously heal, and so it could be that. You know, the common sense goes out the window. In other words, like, for example, that, you know, back to that jar video.
Yeah.
People were saying it was me making suggestions to her and all of that stuff. And the very fact that she didn't believe it was going to happen, that's also like just high level psychological manipulation that it made it happen, because... You know, so it's just they just tie themselves in knots, and I mean, it's just humorous.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna play the jar video. So if you want to get you a drink of water or something,
okay,
do that. I'm gonna play the jar video because we've talked about it so much that I think I pretty much have to show it now. Anyway, we're gonna play this video. For those of you out there that are watching on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, whatever I decide to upload this on. Go ahead. You'll be able to see the video. Of course, if you're on our audio versions over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Amazon, and probably 10,000 others, then you'll be able to hear it. So here we go. We're going to play the jar video of the woman with the frozen shoulder.
This has to be some weird experiment.
No.
I'm hallucinating.
No. No, you still don't believe it, do you? I told you it didn't have nothing to do with what you believed. You did something crazy?
Sure.
Just hold that jar for a minute. Tell me what happens.
I don't know if it's in my head.
What's it doing?
It's not as bad.
Just hold it till it all goes. So it all leaves.
Kind of strange.
Is it all gone?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Every bit of it?
Pretty much. Do you mind if I ask the jar?
Yeah.
Is that a psychological thing? Or?
Now, like in Acts 19:11-12, Paul... Apostle Paul, sometimes he handed people a handkerchief or whatever, and they were healed.
Can I hold your jar?
Shit.
This has got to be some type.
No, there's nothing psychological. You ever held a jar before?
Yeah, of course.
Did your pain leave?
They believe hard enough, right?
No, don't have anything to do with you. Just close your eyes and relax and let him do it. Don't have anything to do with what you believe. Just like if you got hit by a truck, it doesn't matter what you believe, you're still going to get hit by the truck, right? try your shoulder. Just, how is it right now?
Locked.
It's locked right now?
Oh, yeah. It's locked. It'll be locked for a while.
Okay, just hold that just for a second.
If this unlocks my shoulder?
Yeah.
I'm really wishful thinking.
Don't do anything.
No.
No. Oh.
Oh, my God. on this door?
Huh?
And he said, oh my God.
See, that's why I make testimonies. No one believes me.
I have to ask, what, is there something on this door?
No. Oh, the anointing of God.
This is going to be a joke or something.
No. No. What? Hey, did I say what would happen? Remember I said, God backed it up. The kingdom of God has come close to you. His dominion, his rule, which is life and peace and health. It's come near to you today. The manifestation of it. He loves you. He don't want you hurt.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's God.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, his presence. It's called the fire of his presence. Our God's a consuming fire. It's his... The heat's coming over you.
I don't know who you are.
I'm not. It's God. That's who you're concerned with. Not me.
I haven't been able to lift my arm over.
Why are you embarrassed? He loves you.
I haven't been able to lift my arm over.
He loves you. Don't be embarrassed.
January 26th.
He loves you. Grace is undeserved. There's no price tags on it. It's free. It's free. It's free. He loves you. You starting to feel something in your chest? Yep. Yep. Oh, it don't have anything to do with what? You'll still feel it.
Thank you.
Oh, it's God. It's God. It's God. No. What? See, don't doubt. It's not. It don't have anything to do with you. It's Him. He's good. He's good. There you go. Yeah, that's him. It's all him. I didn't do nothing but hand you. Your arm was frozen, and what happened? It got unfrozen.
I stopped physical therapy because it wasn't working, so.
Is there anything you can test to make sure it's working?
Yeah. Open my head.
Yeah. Here, try like, see if that'll lift. Like a weight or something. He loves you.
If only we could touch the entire world.
Now that's just a semi-quick video. That's one of your longer videos, by the way. She could not lift her arm. I couldn't make out exactly how long did she say.
I believe at that time it had, I can't remember. I think she had, that was in September. And excuse me, I think she had maybe a car wreck or something in January. So
it was 9 months.
Or February. It was somewhere in there. I can't remember exactly.
And all of a sudden, now we know the jar is just like Acts 19, the prayer cloth with Paul. And anybody wants to go look into that, you can look into it.
Some people tell me, well, that's a cloth, that's not a jar. I said, oh, so you're pro cloth and anti glass. Like somehow it works. God works with cloth, but not glass, you know.
But it's only linen. You know, they're putting themselves back under the law. Like I've seen that recently too, that people are like this shirt I've got on, like you can't wear this because these are mixed materials and you get all that. So anyway. But she couldn't lift her arm for anywhere from 8 to 9 months. And then all of a sudden she's able to lift her arm in the middle of a Walmart, it looks like. And did you have passersby that just stopped, or was it?
I really don't pay attention anymore. You know what I mean? Like they don't. most people, all that stuff, like in real life, it seems to embarrass everybody. There'll be a few people that'll be like, I think you can catch somebody saying something when I said that, you know, grace was free or something like that. Somebody said like agreed or something, but a lot of people, they're kind of embarrassed. They're embarrassed for me and the person and embarrassed for God. So I don't know. I don't pay much attention to it. What's that?
Why is that? Why do we see, because, you know, and I know because you've told me the most, like when you go out in public, just go ahead and make it known publicly. What's the biggest group? Is it the motorcycle gang leader with tattoos all over him, or is it the deacon of the church that gives you the most backlash about praying for him in public?
Upper middle class and church members. They're the ones that they'll get angry at you a lot of times at varying levels. But, you know, of course there's exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, when you get to middle class, it's kind of 50-50, whether they'll let you pray for them or not. And then as you go up on the socioeconomic scale, the openness to prayer goes down.
Now, there's a reason Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that.
Usually, if somebody's like into witchcraft, pagan, you know, sometimes they won't let you pray. But a lot of times, they're very open. They're like, sometimes they're real, you know, because they're just nice people most of the time. They've been deceived. They're not trying to, you know, bring demons into your church or whatever.
What's that one preacher, Todd? Is it Todd White, the guy with the dreads? Is that his name?
Todd White, yeah.
Yeah, I seen a video of him with like a full-blown Satanist with like devil horns, and he's like out there and he's talking to this guy, and this kid's almost like crying, like listening. Oh, yeah. And like he was so receptive. Do you think that like we turn like especially in the church that we've turned it into a social club instead of like what Jesus said to go out and all these people, because there are people like that in every community in the United States. There are, there's Satanists, there's devil worshipers. I don't care where you live. You have someone who dabbles in witchcraft in your area.
Some of them don't even go to church.
Yeah. Well, most of them don't go to church, but like you have your church members that like, you know, I don't want to go to church with them. Like, do you see, like, you've seen that before, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The reality, I always say this, like, the reality of the kingdom of God, the reality of Jesus Christ in everyday life, it's totally different from what, you know, and you could go into socioeconomic reasons, psychological reasons, but the bottom line is Satan has deceived people into putting just those things in a little building on Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
Act that way in your little building, you know, just like, the maidens do. You do your little rituals in that building, but don't talk about it. Don't talk about it when you come out there. You know, you can wear little things and little symbols, but boy, does that all sound familiar? You can wear little symbols to identify each other, you know, have a little fish on your car or whatever, but don't talk about it now. It's I'm holy, brother. I'm holy. I'm very reverent. I'm not going to speak about those things.
the biggest lie that's been told in America is that in the Constitution, it says that there's a separation of church and state. It does not say that in the Constitution at all. America was founded because of religious persecution and overtaxation. And like, we were supposed to be. Like, I get that, like, people say, oh, we're not a Christian nation, you know. Well, we're not now. Like, we're not a Christian nation. But, like, I see Christians that are so fearful to go out in public like you were talking about, like you do, like wear your little symbols, wear your cross around your neck. Like my wife has a necklace. It's a cross necklace. She loves it, but she, you know,
I mean, there's nothing wrong. And I was, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying don't wear any, I'm not saying that either.
So. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But like, she doesn't just wear a cross around her neck. Like if somebody, like if she knows somebody, she'll be like, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus. Like, you know, and so like, I think that's the aspect of Christianity that we've lost. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we wear our little symbols and we go to church on Sunday and we sing the same seven songs. And if they sing eight, we get mad because the Baptists are going to beat us to the KFC. And or the Mexican restaurant, you know, in the South now, that's the thing. The Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, we got one here in town, and we got more than one here.
One, you should have 47.
We got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got about 15, something like that. Anyway, you know, everybody tries to beat everybody to the Mexican restaurant, and like they go and they worship on Sunday, and I've even seen it in the churches now to where the churches, and I'm not a big, to me, if you don't have Sunday night service, you don't have Sunday night service. But like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, man, if a pastor come in and he said, well, we're not going to do Sunday night service anymore. We're only going to have first Wednesdays. They'd have ran him off because they knowed he was trying to be lazy, just trying to work 1 hour a week. And, it's just, you know, the church has changed, but American Christianity to me has become a show. Like you go to some of these churches now and it's, we got to have these lights. We got to have this $2,000 camera. We got to have this and this, and we got to have these certain people singing. And then we have to have this pastor that gets up and gives this inspiring message that makes everybody feel good, because if you get up there and you say the wrong thing, then sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so aren't going to give their tithe money. I can't talk about that anyway. But like, I think we've made a show out of it instead of like, you know,
definitely
what it is like.
And in the Bible,
go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, in the Bible, like, church is not what modern church is at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you know, it's just
that's
not.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast. That's a,
but you got that side of the road where the, you know, where it's a nightclub and, you know, smoke and machines and, you know, all that looks like a TV show. You're sitting in on a TV show. You got that side. And then you got the other. Then Satan gets you in the other rut where you're like, oh, brother, it's old school. Like, we're just going to hear about the Bible, you know. And then they're just saying the same things these guys are saying without smoking lights. You know, they're just really plain, you know. And so neither one of them, like you're talking about, the truth is not either side, you know.
Either one of them. Like, it's just, I think if you go to a church and you don't, and I'm not telling you to do this, so don't go take this video to your pastor and be like, oh, this guy said, but like, I think if you go to a church and your church doesn't do any weekly outreach into the community where you're going out into the community and you're trying to, you know, gain people for the kingdom. Like if you're not kingdom building, I don't know what you're doing there. Like, what do you even do? And like, what's the point of it? Like, because that's essentially what we're called to do. Jesus said, we're commanded. Okay. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Okay. Well, that's what he told us to go do. And it doesn't mean go ye into a sub. He didn't say go ye into a what do you call those?
Gated community.
not a gated community. Go ye into a shopping center and plant a church and stay there inside those four walls and preach, and maybe that, you know, run an ad on Facebook every once in a while and they might come in. Like, it doesn't say that at all. Like, people like to, I just like, I hear that this little light of mine, you know, people, you say that I'm gonna let it shine. Mm-hmm. Well, if you build walls around your light and you don't put no windows in there, how can anybody ever see it?
Right. And there's nothing wrong with outreaches either, but I was just like that video that I had I had just gotten in the habit of getting my phone out and everything, but I was in there to buy something. Like I didn't come there to make a video for TikTok. You know, I came to get some onions or something, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder how many times too, that people are just not, well, you probably had an urging of the Holy Spirit to pray for her or, you know, do that. But I wonder how many times like people are out in public and like, cause I've done it. Like I have, like there was a guy not long ago, like he was going to a specific church and the Lord told me to go up and say something to him. And I'm like, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing that. He don't know me. Like, you stupid. Like, God, like I ain't about it. You about to make me a fool. And then I did it. And the guy was just like, because like, I'm not going to get in disobedience because you get in trouble when you get in disobedience. But so I just went up and did it anyway. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm going to make a fool out of myself, I can't look like no bigger of a fool than I already do. So I just went up and I did it. And the guy was just like, oh, how did you know? Like, you know, like, I'm
I've got some weird stories about those too. Like where people say, how did you know? And I was like, God told me, like, you want me to pray for you? And they say, no.
I know, like when you was a kid, like, I don't know if this was you, but it was certainly me. Like I would repent before I walked in the door of church, like especially during revival, because like I don't want the Holy Ghost telling on me.
Right. Oh, definitely. Man, I repented every 10 seconds. What are you talking about, man?
But like here's something you opened me up to, which I had heard from him. And I'd kind of listen to him. My wife loves him. Andrew Womack.
Bless God.
Bless God.
That's how he talks.
Bless God. You know, the Lord says that he just loves you and don't be a fool. Just follow the Lord. Andrew Womack is one of the most sincere preachers I've ever really listened to. He's very sincere. And like you introduced me to Dan Moeller too. Now I've said this to other people and I've tried to get people around here to, you know, to book him, like try get him to come to your church, because I believe Dan's a church changer, because Dan changed the way, because I had been to Rhema when I started listening to Dan. I had been like, I had read the Bible, studied like all the time, like, you know, all this stuff. Like,
you had actually went to Rhema. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't go out there. Like I did a thing with them. Like
online.
They do it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I did that with Rhema. They still do that.
Yeah.
And, like they send you the books and then you have to study the books and you have a test and like you have to fill out your test and you send it back to them and then they let you know if you passed or failed that test.
Yeah.
So I did that with Rhema and I had been through all that and I thought I knew the gospel. Like I thought like I knew, like I know the gospel, like, you know. And so the first time I ever listened to Dan, like you kept sending me stuff about Dan and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna listen to him. And so like I remember the first time I ever listened to Dan Moeller completely was I just had that bad anxiety attack and they thought it was a heart attack. And I was laying in the bed at my mother-in-law's house because we were there because my wife's dad had died.
And yeah, I think I remember sending that one, that specific one to you.
You sent that to me. Anything other than this is not the gospel. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to listen to it because I ain't got nothing to do. I'm down here in the backwoods of Alabama and in central Alabama. I'm like, I'm going to listen to this. So I lay there and I listen to it and I'm just like, what did you say? What do you mean? Like, what is this? And so I started listening to Dan a whole lot. Like I thought I knew the gospel. I didn't know the gospel. Like I thought I did, but I didn't. And when I listened to Andrew's so sincere. And I think that is also like, I think there's a lot of people, because I was one of them, I'm speaking from experience here. I think there's a lot of people that think that they know the gospel, they know Jesus, they know this, they know that, and they don't know nothing. They don't know. They know a story about, they know a Bible story.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And like with me, like I grew up with no grace. I thought that divorce, like I was, you know, we were raised, you know, you get a divorce, you're going to hell. No come back from that unless you take her back or unless you take him back, and then you get forgiveness. And so like I grew up with no grace whatsoever. And I grew up with,
hey, let me say something real quick. That one was one that I was always thinking about this stuff as a kid. I'm like, okay, let's say somebody gets divorced and they get remarried. So yeah. To get back, you got to get divorced. Yeah. So you can get forgiven for getting divorced.
Yeah. that's what that was crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's what, you know, they pretty much taught. And yeah. So like when I started, you know, listening to Andrew was, he had a message one night, and my wife would turn on Victory Network, which is Kenneth Copeland's network. And for all you freaks out there that are going and doing these spirit boxes and talking to demons about Kenneth Copeland, like, have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. There is a whole TikTok channel of a guy that has a spirit box. And it said that he's talking to the spirits on the other side, and they're bad mouthing Kenneth Copeland. And they're like, and I'm like, well, they're demons. Of course they're going to bad mouth Kenneth Copeland. Like, and so it tickles people's ear, and they're like, and there's Christians in the freaking comments. And they're like, oh, I always knew it about him. He's always about the money. Like, oh, by Georgie, I knew it. Like, Kenneth Copeland's out here preaching Jesus and get saved. Like, I mean, that's so anti-devil that I've ever, you know, we can argue the point about the money and all that, but like the core message he's preaching is get saved. So anyway, I said all that to say this. I was listening to Andrew one night, and I grew up with that no grace. You say a cuss word, you got to go to the altar, you got to get resaved. Like, you can put him to the cross twice. Like, I believe that, even though the Bible says you can't. And so like I grew up with that, and I was sitting there and I was listening to Andrew, and Andrew, you know, Andrew's pretty, of course, he's, you know, he's sort of Pentecostal in a way, you know? And so I'm sitting there and I'm listening to Andrew, and Andrew goes, there's some people that believe that someone can get down on their knees and get saved in the altar, and they go out and they're saved. Like, God has saved them. And they believe in Jesus. Like, they are fully convinced. Like they're fully convinced. They are a brother or a sister in Christ. And then they go out and they get in their car and they drive 56 in a 55 and they have a car crash and they die. And because they drove 56 in a 55, that was God's judgment on them. And they died and they went to hell. And I'm like, that's the most ridiculous. And then I realized that that's exactly what I grew up believing.
It's like, oh, that's me.
Yeah, like, that's me, bro. Like, I guess I'm supposed to be sitting here and watching this. So I sit there and I listened to him. He was like, your spirit, man, he's saved. And I'm like, yeah, he believes. That's what's going to heaven. And your flesh, now your spirit wars against your flesh daily. And I'm like, and so he sits down and he starts explaining all that. And he explained this to me better than anybody ever could, because you hear the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Like, oh, just believe in Jesus and then go out and, you know, kill your mother or, you know, whatever. And you're fine. And I'm like, you weren't saved if you get, you know, just because you know, a saved person's not going to go out and, you know, do all these things. But yeah. Like, growing up with that no grace, did you grow up the same way with like no
grace? Oh, yeah. I used to, I was afraid of aneurysms and what else? I can't remember. Aneurysms and something else. I don't remember what it was. Something like that. Because they hit people instantly and they died and they didn't have time to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins.
And yeah.
And then I'd also check, like, before I went to bed, I'd try to see the moon and make sure the moon wasn't blood red, because that meant Jesus Christ was coming the next day. And so yeah. I knew if a rapture happened, you know, I didn't have time to say, in Jesus' name, forgive me my sins, you know.
Yeah, like they're magic words.
Yes, yes, they completely were. They were abracadabra, you know.
Yeah.
Now, nobody's going to admit that, but You know, that's what it is.
That's what they believe. Like that's what I grew up like. That's what I believe because I to this day I still hear it. I hear people get in a car crash and they're like, "Well, I hope, brother, that he had time to say, 'Jesus, forgive me of my sins.'" And I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, you have to change the heart. Like, you have to have belief in here. If you don't have belief in here, you can say it all day. You ain't no more saved than a dead dog.
That's what I call that people teach Judaism light. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
It's just you got a few less laws to keep and you don't have to kill animals, but you got some laws to keep and you can just use your words instead of animals as your sacrifice. You know,
are you going to be hiding because of the eclipse?
No,
that's the new thing. That's the new one. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, sure. Until it's gone and it's forgotten and then it's something else. You know?
Jesus is coming. Through the eclipse, because it goes through seven cities called Nineveh in the United States that when the Bible was written that they didn't even know that the United States existed, but you know.
I've seen, I can't remember if it was the Nineveh, they have all kinds of them now that it's going through, and I remember there's some, if you actually look on the map, they're like, it's nowhere near where you know, they just say that, and like so much stuff is like that, like these meme-y type things, memes, you know, of these things. People, wow, this is awesome. And then you look into it and like, it's not true. Like, it's completely, I think Tiffany, my wife, who's from Arkansas, I can't remember what they were claiming, but she's like, that town's nowhere near that, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I think that like American Christianity banks on fear.
Oh, definitely.
Times. And it's like, we're not supposed to fear anything. Like, I like, that's where I think people get mad at Kenneth Copeland. Like that, because I've heard him say some stuff sometimes. Like, he's like, it was raining and it was coming a tornado. And I went outside and I told that tornado, in the name of Jesus, you go up. And people like hear him say that. And they're like, oh, he's just stupid. Like, and that's modern Christianity. But in the Bible, that's exactly what it says you can do. And yeah. You know,
there's a video of a guy doing that on YouTube. Like, really? Like, he literally points at it. This tornado's coming. He literally points at it and says, in the name of Jesus, go back up. And it goes poof. And it went over his place and touched down somewhere else.
It's like we're like, I know like people like to finish up like healing. I've heard, and I want to get your thoughts on this because I already know how you believe, but like the people don't. Like I've heard the excuse of like when people pray for people, like we're talking about fear, you know, and stuff like that. But like when people pray for people and they don't see the healing, they say that it was their faith, that they didn't want it. How do you feel about that? Like we're you know,
that is absolutely unbiblical. Matthew chapter 17, I believe, explains all that. Jesus gave the disciples power and authority to cast out demons, heal the sick. They run up against this one. They can't cast it out. They don't know what's going on. Jesus says, how long I have to put up with y'all? You nincompoops, you know, and Jesus cast the demon out. So was it God's will? Yes. Did the people with power and authority to do it, could they pull it off? Nope. They were confused just like we are. You know, they were like, how come this didn't happen? And so he takes them and they ask him in private the same thing. Everybody, the same question. How come they weren't healed? How come we couldn't cast the demon out? In private, I love it. It says they asked him in private and he said, because of your unbelief. You know, it's because of the person praying. The person laying hands, it's because of your unbelief that boy did not get free. Jesus had perfect faith and Jesus stepped on the scene and said, bam, and the thing left.
Yeah.
And that's it. To me, that answers the question. That, you know, that the disciples that had the power and authority to do it could not make it happen. And they were confused. They did not know. That's why they asked him, because they were like, well, what's going on here? And in my own life, faith, I hate to use the word faith, because that's become so mystical and mystified. But it's trust and confidence in the Lord. And it's there's a hair's difference between having faith and not having it. Have you got time to give me a couple of stories?
Go ahead. I got all the time. It doesn't matter.
Okay. For instance, I had been at this time in my life, I had been seeing COPD leave from people. Like, you just touch them and it's gone. And I remember one lady freaked out and she ran off, you know, because she could breathe now. And so my daughter, she was a lot younger, had a little sniffle, but it was bad enough where she couldn't go to sleep. And so I'm like, hey, the mighty man of God here, you know, the mighty man of God's going to come in here. We're going to take care. We're going to handle this, man. He ain't got a stuffy nose. You know, that's nothing. And so I pray. Guess what? Nothing happens. And, you know, like, shoot, I'm the man of God. I'm going to stay here. I know what the problem is. It's faith. Like, I knew it. I knew it in the Bible. I was like, I already know it, but we're going to see this thing happen. Praying. Nothing moved. Nothing. And so I felt like, and this is kind of rare for me, or this is probably, I'm telling off on myself, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said, Michael, what would you do if this was a kid at Walmart? You know, and you're out praying for people. And I was getting mad. I was like, in Jesus' name, you know, you're going to come out. I'm going to stay here all night. You know, it's me. You know, I was like, well, I would just go up to him and, you know, say, be healed and trust you to do it. Trust Jesus Christ to heal this person. And the Lord was like, why don't you try that? And Jeremy, I realized what I was doing then. You know, I realized it had become me against the runny nose, and me by myself, I can't do anything against the runny nose, you know, zero zip. And so when I realized that, looked like, let Jesus do it. I felt it. I don't know how to explain it. I just felt a tiny shift, and I prayed, and it left, like 95% of it left. And my daughter, she was like 3 at the time. She's like, why is my chest tingling? You know? And so, you know, that was all, it's hard sometimes. It's not a mental thing. I tell people, if you want to know how much faith you got, let's do a bet. Like, I'm going to pray for the people tell me, oh, I got faith, brother. I got faith. All right. Well, this person's got a bad back. We're going to pray for them. Would you bet $5,000 that the back pain's going to leave? And they're like, well, no, you know, and I don't do bets on healings. I'm just saying, okay, yeah. Just to give people a little benchmark here. And people are like, well, no, I'm not going to know. Exactly. that's where your faith is. And that's hard to accept. Sometimes it's a hard thing to accept that. Yeah. I actually don't believe it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. I remember my grandpa, you prayed for him and, he kept saying like, this is tough because I was mad at like you and like all the other people that were saying they were getting healed. And I was like, well, you know, cause he died like a few years later, but like, he kept saying like, and I kind of believe that like we have a will, like, you know, and he kept saying, I just want to go to heaven. Like I'm done here. I just want to go to heaven. And so sometimes I wonder, you know, does that play into it? Does God, you know, like he don't want it. He wants to come here. I wonder if that ever plays into it.
Well, for me, like I go by the book. The book doesn't mention it, so I don't think about it. So yeah. Jesus said, "Raise, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead." Those are my orders. You know, if something happens beyond that's not, you know, it's if it's not in here, it's above my pay grade. So if somebody's dying, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray that they're healed and on the earth. Can somebody's will, maybe, I don't know. But then when you get over into that, then you're like, well, you know, should I pray for this person? Should I not? So
yeah,
just for me, I just say, hey, there's some things I don't know. Like, I don't know, but I know what I've been told to do.
Yeah.
And so
you had a baby one time, the baby, it wasn't viable, right?
There's been four so far that were dead in the womb.
And they came back and they were born.
Yeah. Like, all that is on paper, you know, they've got the records. They told the mom. I've only, you know, met one of them. It was all over the internet, but I've got a video on that, and she's talking about, like, yeah, they told me it's a done deal. Go home and just let your body pass. You know, there is no heartbeat. There is no hope. And so we've had that happen four times, and both times, like, well, I know at least two of the times all the medical people were blown away. They're like, this is not supposed to happen. You know, why wasn't that on Fox News? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, it doesn't, people just don't believe it. They'll be like, well, something else, you know, I don't know. I can't explain that. You know,
I don't think you want it on CNN though, because everybody then would just call it fake.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're going to tell you, well, you know, those 87 times we tested for a heartbeat, we missed it every time. You know?
Yeah.
That's the only thing it could be.
Yeah, we missed it. It was our technology. Like, I get so upset about, well, I don't get upset. I get a little frustrated when people talk about science and stuff like that. Scientists are just educated guessers. Like, at the end of the day, they're just making an educated guess. And like, atheism, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
You know, I don't. I'm not opposed to science. And go, look, before I get off track, going back to what we was talking about, praying for somebody, you know, it was the person praying in that situation that had to have the faith, not the person, not the guy with the demon. You know, it was the person praying. So I always want to, people have heard that wrong so many times. I always want to reiterate that and be clear on what I mean. And I tell people, look, if you called me for prayer, if you said, hey, that nut on TikTok with the jar, let's call him in for my headache, and you don't get better, that, I say, that is my fault. Biblically speaking, that is my fault. That's on me. You know, and it's only by grace that I'm able to say that. So, you know, when the big healings come, that's amazing. But when the big failures happen, you know, you got to say, hey, I missed it. And, you know, a lot of pastors aren't willing to admit that. And that's why you got so many crazy doctrines about healing, you know. And I'm just going by the word. And I've chat, like, nobody's been able to show me anything different by the word. They'll say, well, look at, so we know Joe had faith. And I was like, well, no, we don't. You know, nobody's ever been able to scripturally show me anything. And I'm open to it. Hey, I'm open to getting off the hook. You know, this is not something that makes me look good, you know, but I've never been able, nobody's ever been able to show me scripturally, get me off the hook of that one. So,
well, you know, you've seen the babies, but what's his name? Street Ministries
7.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, over on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think he does a little TikTok too, but I don't think he messes with it like he does YouTube. I think I seen a video of you and him and several others. Like, y'all were in Memphis, I think. Like, y'all were in the hood.
Yeah.
And those are not good areas that.
No.
Y'all were at a gas station in Memphis at like,
oh, 11, yeah, 5. Wow, you remember that?
yeah, like y'all were in there like 11 o'clock at night at a gas station in Memphis, like,
yeah,
you know, the Lord had to be with you, a white boy in Memphis at 11 o'clock at night.
Hey, going back to science, like, I just, you know, science just deals with what you can see. And that's cool. That's great. You know, I don't have any problem with science. You know, like I said, they scientifically did that paper about Heidi Baker and how people are getting healed. They are seeing, they are hearing. People that couldn't hear can hear. People that can't see can see. It's science. I mean, it's there. Now, people will say, well, there's something wrong with that study, because that's impossible. But science only deals with what you can touch and taste and you know, a lot of who is funding you, you know, that plays into it. But pure, if it's pure, I don't have any problem. But they're just dealing with the natural world, and the spiritual world does not work like it has no. It doesn't work like the natural world. It's all wacky. It's all different than the natural world. And it's like I always say, if you're trying to look at the spiritual world through the lens of science, it's like trying to smell the color yellow. You can't smell yellow. You can only see it, you know. So it's just they don't have the they can see the results maybe of the spiritual world sometimes, but if they're honest. But yeah, I don't have any problem really with science, you know.
No, I don't either.
They don't have any. They need to stay in their lane. As long as they stay in their lane, hey, you know, we can agree or disagree about whatever. But
yeah, I think that they get. I think that sometimes people think that they're the ultimate authority on things, like when it comes to politics, like the Supreme Court. Like they think, Congress can go back and just make a law.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like they're like, you know, it's whatever. But like, I think that sometimes people think that like science, doctors, whatever, I think they get too caught up with that. They're the supreme authority.
Definitely.
And they're not like,
you know, I taught college for a little while and knew a lot of, you know, doctors and PhDs and all that stuff. And a lot of them, you would not want to depend on them to feed your dog. You know, they can regurgitate materials and things like that, but there's all kinds of human elements that comes into science. I'll just say that, like, as far as research, again, who's funding it? You know, those things matter because these people are trying to put food on the table. And if you got a research grant from, you know, whoever, I don't want to trigger any conspiracy theories, but if you got a research grant from whoever, you're probably going to kind of fudge toward making that sound good for them, people that are paying you. So there's a lot of that in there. There's a lot of cheating and just cooking the books when it comes to some of that stuff.
Yeah. And when you talk about like science and stuff like that, you got to go back to the vid of 2020. Like there were people that took the Christians that took the COVID vaccines, and they have these nut jobs, not going to say anybody's name, but one of them might be in television in Tennessee. They tell these people that, oh, well, you're going to die. Like you've taken the mark of the beast. And it's like, they tell these people all these things, and like the Bible completely contradicts what some of these pastors are getting in their pulpits or on their internet and tells them, because Jesus said that, if they like poison, he was talking about poison. If they drink anything, it shall not harm them.
Right.
Well, like injection is the same. Like it's the same concept. Yeah. It goes to the bloodstream. So sure. Like, if you took something that that goes back to our fear. Like I think fear is like, I had this broken down to me this way. Okay. God created, like God uses faith, right?
Mm.
Okay. Well, what's the opposite of faith? It's obviously fear. So fear is not of God. The Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear and all these things. But like when we were talking, I think that fear has gotten into a lot of like Christianity, and it has.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's just destroyed like so much.
Oh, definitely. Fear, fear, fear. Fear.
Everything's fear.
And part of that, you know, we told the scientists to stay in their lane. The Christians should stay in their lane and not try to be scientists. You exactly. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's where a lot of these conspiracy theories come from. And, you know, being I had a degree in history, or have a degree in history. And like I know a lot of the stuff is just made up, like completely fairy tales, you know. That's my field, you know, that's kind of what I know about. And yeah. And so I've talked to people that were in the medical, and they're like, man, this doesn't, like what this guy is saying, you know, they're Christians. Yeah. And they're like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, that's not where that's made from. You know, it's just, but people just believe it. I don't, it's so crazy. It's so wild.
Yeah. And I obviously believe that God uses, like, I believe that God can use medicine. I believe he can, because I believe God can do anything. And, like, I don't think that everything that science comes out with is bad. I don't. I think that the devil tries to influence everything. I think he tries to influence everything from the pulpit to the pew to the voting box to Washington to your relationship with your wife, to your own personal time. The Bible talks about idle hands. Why do you not need to have idle hands? Well, because an idle mind is the devil's playing field. Like it's, you know, and I believe that we have a lot of idle minds that come up with this stuff and they put it out there and people just assume it's fact, or they assume that, you know, this pastor said it. Well, this pastor's
and that's the end. That's it, you know.
Like I've heard pastors get up in the pulpit and say that hell didn't exist. Like I've had them do that, and I know that they've done it, but do you believe that one? Well, no, I don't believe that one, but I believe it's an over here. Well, why do you believe him?
Yeah,
like pastors commit adultery every day. Like they're people just like me and you and everybody else at the end of the day.
See that's where everybody hates me. What's that show? Everybody Hates Chris. Everybody hates me because, see, I'm going to tell the scientists, I don't know what you're talking about, but then I'll turn around and tell the wacky Christian, you don't know what you're talking about either. So if we just stay in our lanes and just use our brain a little bit and use, hey, I believe the Lord leads us into truth, you know, we'll do well. Everybody can't be obviously everybody can't be a medical professional. Everybody can't be, you know, a history teacher, you know, it's, But hey, we can listen like with history. You don't just listen to anybody can write a book. Anybody can say anything, but you know, you have to have a good source of information, you know, a good, like, this is where it came. Like, this is where they get this from, you know, and I try to do this with a lot of the holidays and people just, you know,
oh God, don't
pull
even
their hair out. They're like, no, you know, Christians love to give things to the devil. I don't know. I'm like, this is good news. You know, Easter isn't a pagan holiday. And they're like, yes, it is. Well, here's the proof. That's not true. You know?
Yeah.
Different podcast.
Different podcast. But it's just like, I see so many Christians. They're like, well, you got to change Christmas. Why? Because you got that darn old Santa Claus. And I'm like, Santa Claus is real. What are you talking about? Like, it's St. Nicholas. Like, he's real. And they're like, well, we don't believe in them saints. Why? Because we Christian. Them was Catholics. Like, what are you talking about?
There was a total, you know, that, hey, there's another one. And that's one reason, you know, the people that are Protestants, that they're going to stay away from history before Martin Luther. Because you got all these questions. Like, okay, well, is that guy, you know, was he a Baptist? Well, no, there wasn't such thing. And the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, that they, during St. Nicholas's time, they were not what they are now, you know, but they were believers. They were Christians, you know. Yep. St. Nicholas also, he did all kinds of miracles. And he was also known for, I think, if I'm getting this right, at one of the church councils, I think somebody was coming against the Trinity. And he was known for slapping them. He slapped the taste out of their mouth. And he's like, don't you say that, pal, you know?
Yeah. Like, we have a history. At the end of the day, we have a history. And the Catholic Church is not what it was then.
Yeah.
And then it was totally different than what it is now.
Everybody was. Everybody's, you know, everybody is.
Yeah. Like, if they would have stayed the same, would we have all these denominations? I don't know. But it's totally, we have a history at the end of the day, like, you know, but we all come from one person.
That's right.
At the end of it, we all come from one person.
Yeah.
And, there's more that I wish we could get into,
That's another podcast.
Like, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. Like, that was a good one for me. when you gave me a little bit of correction on that. You was like, no, Bible don't say that. And I'm like, what? Anyway, but like,
Lord, you just made a bunch of people scared. Yeah, well, if it's not poured, it's poured out on me. What?
No, the wrath of God. We have not seen it yet. But like, there's people like to close this thing out. There's of course, like I asked Stephanie this, like there's of course the people that say, well, why don't you go to the hospitals? You go to the Walmart. You know,
hey, can I answer that one real quick?
Go ahead.
I do go to the hospital, but you can't, especially now after COVID, you can't get in the hospital. Like you can't get in our local hospital without who you're going to say. You got to get a badge thing and you can't get in there. Before COVID, I would go a lot of times and I would stay in the waiting rooms and I would tell people, hey, I'm praying for people. I was, you know, and people are watching me because they will get rid of you. They'll kick you out. Street Ministry 7, they actually go and sneak in hospitals and go room to room. And of course, they get kicked out all the time. But if anybody, you know, I've been to every hospital around here, and especially back when you had a big waiting room and pray for people and see people healed, you know, it's so that does happen.
Our customers.
That does happen. There's a guy named Sean Hurley. He was actually a nurse when he got into some of this revelations and stuff. And he did get in trouble for praying for people, and people, like, he literally got in trouble and people were getting better. People were getting out and leaving, you know, and they're like, I'm fine. And then it raises, see, in reality, it raises a whole bunch of questions. Wait a minute. We just did an x-ray, you know, and you don't have a intestine or whatever. Like, you're not fine. Like, well, I am now, you know. So it's not as simple as people think it is.
Yeah. Like, they think that, oh, you can just walk in there. Well, I'm here to pray for people. Well, you're not going to, because you'll take our customers.
They'll say, here's the door, buddy.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's 2024, man. We don't know who you are. We got people that walk into schools and do terrible things. You think we're going to let some random guy walk into a hospital?
Yeah, yeah. They always tell me, go, of course, you know, Memphis has St. Jude. Well, why don't you go down there to St. Jude? I was like, you can't get in the door at St. Jude. Like, hey, guys, I got to knock on the little guard thing. I got a handkerchief and a jar. And we're gonna send all these kids home. I thought about actually doing a video where I do that.
Nah, they probably think you're Jeffrey Epstein. They'll be like, he's came back from the
dead. Yeah, they're gonna, man, they get out of here, man. So it doesn't work like that. And you know, any American that's been to a hospital, you know that. You know you can't just go room to room. Hey y'all, what's up? You know.
You know, and if you live in America, you better not be going door to door in some places. But anyway, to wrap this up, there are some people out there, and they've asked for some things. So, Stephanie prayed us out. So I'm gonna let you pray us out. My wife's grandmother in particular, her name's Deborah, and I probably shouldn't do this live, but I don't care. She has cancer, and she's been dealing with it for a long time. And
that's your wife's grandmother? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And she's in particular, you know, her in particular have asked. If you would pray for her and pray us out of here for everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah. Anytime.
So if you're listening to this or you're watching this, what I would say, if you've heard us this far, you don't even have to believe this. So just try it. You ain't got nothing to lose, right? So just relax and see what happens. See what happens now and see what happens in the next day or two. So Father, right now, anybody that's listening that needs healing, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command their body to be healed. All pain, all sickness, disease, leave in Jesus' name. Life to these bodies. Cancer, come out. Coughing, come out. Whatever the problem is, leave. If it's not life, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Bodies, be healed. Cancer, disappear. Tumors, disappear. Every system in your body, function in Jesus' name. Your youth, even renewed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every wicked spirit that's causing cancer or anything else, in anybody's life that's listening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you, wicked spirit, stop your work and leave right now. Never return to this person or anybody else again. Leave right now. All spirits out in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of the kingdom, the dominion, and the glory of God in heaven and earth on people right now in Jesus' name. Everything not of God out, all the kingdom of darkness out, life and light in the name of Jesus Christ. Be blessed financially, relationship-wise, whatever you're needing, in Jesus' name, I believe it for you.
Amen. All right. Until next time, if you didn't like what you heard here today, Mike, thank you. Get over it, you snowflake, because it ain't controversial. It's just culture.